We'll bring you this tribute to the late Wayne Greene in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this special rain report. Wayne Greene, W2, Never Say Die, has died. The following appeared on the American Radio Relay League's website. Ham Radio Publications pioneer, visionary, iconoclast Wayne Greene, W2NSD, Silent Key. Wayne S. Greene II, W2NSD, Never Say Die, of Hancock, New Hampshire, died September 13th. He was 91. A well-known and often outspoken figure during what some consider amateur radio's golden years in the 1950s and 1960s, Greene helmed CQ Magazine for 5 years before becoming the self-proclaimed El Supremo and founder in 1960 of 73 Magazine, which he published until 2003. The purpose of 73 at that time was to get more hams building equipment, Greene recounted in a radio interview several years ago. A hallmark of 73 was Greene's iconic rambling and wide-ranging Never Say Die editorials, in which he rarely missed an opportunity to tweak the ARRL and his magazine competitors for their perceived shortcomings. In 2012, Greene contributed back issues of 73 to Internet Archive. Wayne will be remembered in many different ways by many different people, but he will be long remembered, said ARRL CEO David Sumner, K1ZZ. He maintained his membership in the ARRL despite being a persistent critic. In the early days of packet radio, he gave me some good advice as to how the ARRL should promote the new technology. Talk about it as if everybody's doing it, and eventually they will be. Indeed, Greene often was ahead of the curve in promoting such technologies as single sideband phone, solid-state FM, and the marriage of computers and ham radio, and he went on to found and publish Byte and other computer-oriented publications. I live mostly in the future, Greene was quoted as saying. Former ARRL contributing editor Stan Horzepa, WA1LOU, once wrote in his surfing web column, "We take computers and the internet for granted today. I first became interested in computers when Wayne Greene, W2NSD, started writing about them in 73 Magazine in the 1970s. Back then, you had to build your own from scratch or from kits." Greene maintained a larger-than-life presence even in the years after he faded from the amateur radio spotlight, and he never did really retire. "Hey, old buddy, I'll miss you," radio talk show host Art Bell, W6OBB, posted to Wayne Greene's blog. "Never Say Die is a phrase that will be with me till it's my time." Greene was an occasional guest on Bell's Coast to Coast AM overnight talk program. There hardly was an issue that Greene would not confront, and he expounded a variety of unconventional science, health, and medical theories, from cold fusion and the moon landing to AIDS and cancer cures. He continued to write and speak frequently on these topics and others, as well as on public policy, even at hamfests where he was a guest. The final in his blog sums up Greene's overarching philosophy. Wayne Greene passed away September 13, 2013, in a peaceful, painless transition from this life on Earth. An eternal optimist and one who loved to share his never-ending zest for life, he was a friend to many and will be missed greatly. Wayne was not afraid of dying and was very much ready to embark on his next great adventure to the afterlife. That from the ARRL website. In the fall of 1998, RAIN's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, approached Wayne with the idea of producing a weekly podcast that became known as Wayne Greene Pontificates. And pontificate he did. Here is one of those 10-minute columns that was posted on the RAIN Report website back in early 1999.
"Hi there, Wayne Greene. W2NSD, Never Say Die, up here in Hancock, New Hampshire. Last time I talked a little bit about some poetry, and I hope that you have some poetry that you can recite to me the next time we meet. And I was thinking, as long as I was delving into the Alice in the Looking Glass, of the walrus and the carpenter. The sun was shining on the sea, shining with all his might. He did his very best to make the billows smooth and bright. And this was odd, because it was the middle of the night. It goes on, "The time has come," the walrus said, "to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings." So I'd like to talk about those things. Let's start off with shoes. And I didn't think much about shoes until one day I came across the Rockport shoes, which were as light as a feather. I was amazed, and so I bought several pairs of those. And, boy, are they fun to walk in. And I do a lot of walking. When I travel, I walk around the cities, and I walk for miles around the cities. I've walked through most of Paris. I've walked through most of Rome, most of Berlin, and so forth, and miles and miles and miles, and I love to walk. So I was excited when the Rockports came out, which made walking, and of course these days I jog every day, so I finally gave up and got some Nike Airs, mostly because the price was right, but they're comfortable, and I do jog a couple miles every day. As a matter of fact, I was out just a little while ago, and pick up the garbage along the road. We have some mental defectives that drive up my road, which is a dirt road, and throw beer cans. They drink beer and throw them out. So I have a pile of beer cans that I put together, and every so often somebody comes along and collects the cans that I have put together in a pile. But it is nice that we have newly developed and high-tech shoes, and I enjoy that. Shoes and ships. When I first discovered the secret for making money, and that was quite a while ago, I started my own business, borrowed $1,000 from the bank, went into business, and within 3 years was selling well over $1 million worth of stuff a year and making money hand over fist. And, of course, I did the what most people do when they get money. I went out and bought a yacht, an express cruiser, it was called, by Chris Craft. And cruised all around up and down the coast and up and down the Hudson River and so forth. I was living in New York at the time. And then when World War II came along, being a ham, I volunteered to go into the Navy to become a radio technician. And I kind of looked around to see what the best thing that I could do would be. And a fellow who had worked for my father with American Export Airlines and was in the reserve, had been taken back into the regular Navy, and he put me in touch with Commander Bourne at the Anticosti Naval Research Laboratory. And so I went down and interviewed with him, and he said, "Boy, I'd sure love to have you work for me, but first you have to go to radar school and learn about radar." So I joined the Navy, went to Bliss Electrical School first for the fundamentals, and then out to what they called Radio Materiel School, which is where we learned about radar. And they took kids that didn't know an ohm from a volt, and within 9 months had them able to service any kind of electronic equipment, whatever. Didn't make a difference what it was. And it was a marvelous course. At the end of the course, I was supposed to let Commander Bourne know so he could cut my orders and get me back to the laboratory. But I got to thinking about it. I said, "Gee, you know, I'm not married or anything." And I was still in a depressed state at that time. So I said, "Well, what the heck?" And I volunteered for submarine duty. The school said, "Well, you have to go take a physical," and I went down to the medical department there, sick bay, and reported in for a physical for submarine duty. And all the fellows were standing around memorizing the eye chart just in case, so I memorized it too. I still know it, DEFPOTEC, reading forward, backwards, CETOPFED. So came my turn to be examined, and they looked at me and they said, "You're too fat." I said, "Oh, my gosh, how much overweight am I?" Well, they looked it up, and they said, "You're 8 pounds overweight." I said, "Well, this is Friday. If I come back Monday 8 pounds lighter, will you pass me?" And they said, "Oh, sure."
You're listening to an edition of Wayne Green Pontificates, featuring the late ham radio pioneer Wayne Green, W2NSD. We'll conclude this 1999 podcast in a moment. This is the Rain Report. Available 24/7 on therainreport.com and via Twitter.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
So I spent the weekend going over what we called the grinder. I didn't eat any food or drink any water. I went to a steam bath and sweated out as much as I could and came back 9 pounds lighter on Monday. And they weighed me and they said, wow, that's amazing. I said, but you're still disqualified because you have flat feet. So I went back to the school and they said, did you pass? And I said, sure. During heavy depth charge attacks, I used to get my folder out and see where it was stamped in a big red stamp on the cover, disqualified for submarine duty. My boat, by the way, was one of the top-scoring boats, and it's on display down in Mobile, Alabama. Got hurt a little bit by the recent hurricane, but I think they'll get that fixed up again. And it's got about a 7-degree list now, I understand. Shoes and ships and sealing wax. Well, there's not much you can say about sealing wax other than we don't use it anymore. When I went to school, which was a long time ago, we had ink wells with ink in them. We had pens and pen points. We wrote by dipping the pen point into the ink. It was before fountain pens were popular or inexpensive. And I remember when a fellow named Reynolds invented the ballpoint pen. And boy, they were expensive at first, and they leaked like crazy. You didn't dare put them in your pocket. Next came the typewriter. And yes, they were around, but they were expensive and big when I was a kid. And then gradually, they got lighter and cheaper and so forth. And the word processor came along, and I got one of the first word processors, Sony put it out, called a Typecorder, in 1980. And Sherry and I both got Typecorders, and we were able to keep in contact with each other over the telephone lines with our Typecorders. And they had a little microcassette in there for storing the typing and so forth. And you could print it out, and that was the start. And then in 1983, Radio Shack came out with the first microcomputer, the TRS-80 Model 100. And I enjoyed that particularly because I think I was the father of that piece of equipment. When the first LCD watches and first LCD calculators came out, a fellow from Japan was over here visiting, and he brought me one of the calculators. And I looked at it, and I said, okay, that's the last step that we need to have a computer about the size of a book, which we now call a laptop computer. And I described the screen that we would have on there, which would fold down over the keys. We would have either tape or a disk in there for memory. And this was in about 1977, 1978, around in there, right in the beginning. And I was describing laptop computers. Heck, the first description was in 1976 at a talk I gave in Atlanta. Still have a tape of that. But at any rate, my friend Kei Nishi then got together with Microsoft, and he went over to Kyocera in Japan, and the TRS-80 Model 100 was the result. He brought it out just exactly as I described it to him, complete with the word processing software built into it. Well, at any rate, so much for all that, the sealing wax. I'll get on to the cabbages and kings next time. The cabbages have to do with eating raw food, and if you want to be healthy, you're going to eat raw food. And I know it means totally changing your diet. It means not going to KFC, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, and most restaurants. But cooked food is poison as far as the body is concerned. Well, we'll talk about that more next time. And that's described, that's covered quite well in my book on Secret Guide to Health. And oh, I mentioned making money. I have a Secret Guide to Wealth, which explains the secret that I learned and how you can make any amount of money you want. Anybody can do that. But that'll hold us for now. And if you have anything that you'd like me to talk about, you can always reach me by design73@aol.com. That's design73@aol.com. And I have a website, wayngreen.com, www.wayngreen.com. But please do send for a catalog of my books and the things that I've written. And I think you'll find fascinating stuff in there. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with two stamps on it to Wayne Green, Hancock, New Hampshire, like in John Hancock, 03449. That's 03449. You didn't have your pencil handy, did you? Well, 800-308-03449. Hancock, New Hampshire, Wayne Green is all it takes. Thanks very much, and let me know what you want me to talk about. Thank you.
And that concludes part one of our two-part remembrance of the late amateur radio icon, Wayne Green, W2NSD, who voiced his Wayne Green Pontificates podcast almost 15 years ago. Wayne's podcast was produced by Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP. Next time we'll hear about some thoughts from Wayne following his decision to discontinue publishing 73 Magazine in 2003. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from The Rain Report. www.therainreport.com.